You're listening to AWW Radio, the podcast of American Women's Wrestling.
What is up, wrestling friends? This is Derek Lewandowski, part of the Bleacher Brothers. You're listening to American Women's Wrestling Radio, and I'm here with my co-host, my brother in crime, Ben Lewandowski.
Hey, peeps. What's happening?
How's it going, man?
It's going good today, Derek. Got a haircut.
Hey, good. Did you get your money's worth?
Well, yeah, I did. I paid for the gentleman's cut, and it was like a $20, and I left a nice tip. And, yeah, I don't know. He used a straight razor at one point, and that was pretty cool, so I'll take it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm always nervous because, like, I have to go with marching orders from, you know, my wife, Heidi.
Yeah.
Because, like, if I'm not clear, like, there's always, like, so, like, they cut it, like, too high in the back, or
right,
they cut a disconnect like an inch and a half wide, you know, where you could like yeah, drive a tricycle through it. And you know, she I always get the report card when I get home, so I'm always nervous.
Yeah, no, it's funny you say that, because I had to like look up on, like, I had a text message from a friend that used to cut my hair like last year, and I looked up on like that text message to find out the name of the haircut they had given me.
Oh really?
And so that I could go in and be like, I want this haircut. And then the guy actually questioned me. He's like, are you sure? And it was really, you know, that moment where I was like, I think I'm sure.
Yeah. You know what?
Get done.
We don't know what we're doing, man. And probably a lot of our listeners, you know, like women wrestlers or women who, you know, love female wrestling, or I don't know, like anybody other than us probably is better at fashion and that kind of thing. Like, you know, there's that other podcast, Women Wrestle 2 with, you know, Alexis Porter and Ariel Carpio, yeah, with the open mat. Like, they do a nice job talking about, like, women's and girls stuff. But that's a pretty short list of stuff that you and I have any expertise on. I can't, you know, like,
I have, yeah, nothing to say that will be helpful
when
to
it comes to fashion, haircuts, no, makeup. No,
I literally wear like one shirt. I wear like black, I wear a black shirt every day. It's simple. So.
And not to stereotype women, you know, as the only, you know, cooks in the house, but I will say in my house, it is pretty stereotypical. They don't want me anywhere near the kitchen. It's usually a disaster, and it almost ends up like a health hazard when I cook.
Yeah.
Like literally last time, I don't know what happened, but I think when Heidi cooked a spaghetti meal before me,
yeah,
something happened where I think the pot was neglected and like the water all boiled out and it ended up like burning the pot. And there was all these metal chips in there.
Cause you let the water just boil itself to nothing. Well, I know that.
Yeah.
Man.
I'm not sure if I did that or she did. I probably did that.
I'm pretty sure you did it.
Yeah. And then
anything that like that happens, whether she was in there or not, we all blame you.
but then I cooked spaghetti in it and literally the spaghetti had metal chips.
Oh,
all,
that's
like all throughout, not one, like thousands of metal chips.
I'm picturing, remember when our dad, remember dad made ziti that one time and he dumped the hot peppers on and like just the whole thing exploded on top of ziti, and he's so stubborn that he literally tried to pick them off and he just was,
yeah,
so
the dog Simba wouldn't eat it either.
Oh, he ate it and cried the whole time out of stubbornness. But anyways, I'm sure that's what it was like in your family, eating the metal chipped spaghetti.
Yeah, it wasn't good. So, okay, here we are, Ben. This is our sixth episode.
Yeah.
So thank you to all the listeners and the encouragement and the, you know, the people who have followed us and, you know, given our show a chance. We appreciate that. You know, we're all about all things women's wrestling and trying to promote the sport, highlight the sport, tell stories, you know, and just have fun, you know.
Yeah.
And just try to create a context where people can get to know more about the sport, including you and me, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I even just, yeah, go ahead.
So we're on our sixth show here. So I thought it'd be fun. Maybe let's talk about the number six and some fun facts about the number six here. And right, it may be connected to wrestling. So, okay. I got a little fun facts page here. The number six is actually, gamblers would consider it the number of luck because it's the highest number on the dice.
Oh, I had no idea about that.
And of course, you know, there's five senses, but there's also that idea of the sixth sense, which refers to extra sensory perception. It's, you know, when you have a hunch or an instinct, that's your sixth sense, right?
Yep.
Let's see what else we got. June is a 6 month. And let's see. John Quincy Adams was our sixth president.
Okay.
He was the first president to be photographed. I did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
Take a guess. What was the sixth state added to the United States?
I'm going to say, I don't know, New Hampshire?
It rhymes with that. Massachusetts.
Ah, so close.
Okay, there's six players on a volleyball team and six on an ice hockey team. I didn't know that. There's only six out on the ice in hockey?
Yeah, man.
You know what? They're going so fast all over the place. I feel like I'm watching 10 people.
Well, you know what's funny is I actually went to a junior hockey to watch some junior hockey play recently.
Yeah.
And I just appreciated the fact that they weren't traveling at light speed on the ice. I could actually follow it a little. Right. You know, I was like understanding hockey better because I'm watching it a slower form. You watch those guys in the pros. I know this isn't a hockey podcast, but boy, they fly.
Good. There's our 5 seconds of hockey on a women's wrestling podcast. Okay, let's see. Two more. A standard flute has 6 holes.
Okay.
A standard guitar has 6 strings.
Yep.
And insects have 6 legs. So there you go. The number 6. Now let's kind of take it over to wrestling. Does the number 6 make you think about anything, you know, when it comes to wrestling?
It makes, honestly, what's weird is it makes me think about one thing, and it's weird. It's it has to do with a position that a guy named Mark Winters put me in.
You mean you got pinned and it was 6 points?
No, well, that was exactly what happened. Okay. No, here's the only time I ever sucked weight. I mean, I always sucked weight wrestling, but I really tried to drop down a whole weight class. I got down and got down to this weight class, wrestled this kid that night. His name is Mark Winters. He pinned me in 14 seconds with a standing cradle. So like it was, I literally was in the shape of a number 6. and I was just looking at the number thinking that is exactly what I remember. He put my head right to my knee and he just jacked me right over and pinned me 14 seconds. And I blame it on the fact that I had sucked weight. So,
well, obviously.
Yeah. Clearly I was weaker.
If you didn't suck weight, I mean, you would have gone right to States.
All the way.
That day.
All the way. Any day.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess the number 6, of course, I do think of, you know, when you have duels, you know, a pin is worth 6 points. A forfeit is 6 points. On the family side, my son Reese got 6th at States. And then he goes to New Way Nationals and gets 6th there last year. So that was special for him.
That is special.
So
now, Derek, here's the thing. I have a question.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of confused and not confused. Hey, listen, I'm far from an expert on women's wrestling and learning myself. Like, I feel like every week I'm just kind of, I mean, one of the reasons we created the podcast was to help people like me just gain even a greater understanding of the sport and the wrestlers in the sport, the stories. But like, even there, you're talking, is it 6 points in women's duels for a pin? Or is it like, is that, it's not, right? It's 5, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. The freestyle scoring is different.
Right. So like, even that, like just learning that stuff for me is as part of the fun. Now, folk style in regular NCAAs, we're talking in high school, it's 6 points
right
for pin or forfeit.
Yes.
But like women's wrestling and freestyle, we're talking, it's different in the dual tournament.
Yeah, well, let's set the table because we're going to transition now to talking about the NWCA.
Okay.
Duels that are coming up this weekend, the National Wrestling Coaches Association, NWCA, multi-divisional national duels are this weekend. The event actually features 92 teams from men's and women's college wrestling, NCAA, NAIA, NJCAA, which is junior colleges. And for the first time this year, they're going to have a division just for NCAA women's programs and a division just for NAIA. Last year, those, you know, the divisions
were combined. Yeah.
So, you know, just like the rest of women's college wrestling is moving toward being multi-divisional, the NWCA, I think wisely and, you know, with some excitement for everybody involved and who loves women's wrestling at the college level, there's 2 separate divisions. So now this year they're going to crown for the first time an NCAA duels team champion and an NAIA champion. So that's pretty cool. So we're going to talk about that today. But, yeah, let's set the table by talking about the scoring in the duels for freestyle. So you have a pin is worth 5.
Yeah.
A forfeit is worth 5. A tech fall, which of course is 10 points in freestyle.
Right.
A tech fall is worth 4, and a decision, which is anything less than 10 points, is 3. Now, the wrinkle in women's freestyle wrestling, or just freestyle wrestling, I should say, in general, is if you lose, but you score a single point in your match, even in a loss, as long as you don't get pinned, you actually get one team point. So literally, you know, it can be, you can be losing, you know, 9-0.
You get a push out.
You get a push out or a shot clock violation or a stall point, 9-1, and then you end up losing. They take you down. You get, you lose 11-1. You still, that was a big point. You got your team a team point just from scoring once.
Yeah, that matters. That's big.
That can be really big. And that, I believe that is wiped out by a pin.
Okay. So if you get pinned, even though you scored points in the match, you don't get a point for your team.
Yeah, that's wiped out.
Yep.
As far as I understand. So, yeah, so let's talk about what's coming here. We're going to primarily focus on the NCAA division and break that down, even though, you know, I want to talk about the NAIA too. There's some great matchups happening there.
Yep.
I will say that the NCAA division, right now it's a 16 team bracket. I think there's 15 teams actually entered. But it actually, the bracket includes all 10 of the top NCAA teams.
Wow.
Which is pretty exciting. I think we've got that. This is our AWW NCAA team rankings from December. We got number 1, McKendree.
Number 2, Simon Fraser.
Yep.
3, King University. 4, Emmanuel College. 5, Augsburg University.
Which they're a start. They're a new program, by the way. So to be at 5 already is pretty amazing and telling of their future.
Absolutely. Colorado Mesa, number 6. 7th, North Central. 8th, Presbyterian. 9, Adrian. And 10, Tiffin.
Yeah, they're all there. They're all in that bracket. So that's pretty awesome. That's what you want. You know, I mean, let's figure out who the best team is here. Let's put them all right in the same group and have them scrap it out and battle it out for the title. And then the NAIA, 8 of the top 10 NAI teams, at least in our American Women's Wrestling team ranking, 8 of the top 10 teams are there, including Campbellsville, Life, Menlo, you know, a lot of those top programs. So let's see, where do we go here? Want to start with the NCAA division?
Sure, let's do it.
So we have the top 4 seeds?
Yeah, the top 4 seeds of the tournament, McKendree, they get a bye. And then the second seed is that why am I missing this in front of me? Oh, Simon Fraser.
Simon Fraser. Yep.
Simon Fraser. Third seed is King, and 4th seed is Emmanuel.
Okay, so barring an upset, this sets up Friday's semis between McKendree and Emmanuel, which would be the number 1 and number 4.
Uh-huh.
And the number 2 and 3, which would be Simon Fraser versus King. Now, just a note on the schedule, looks like it starts Friday morning. And the times on Track Wrestling are in Eastern Standard Time. And when you go to Track Wrestling, by the way, just be aware that the NWCA multi-divisional tournament that's listed there, the first one you'll see is probably the men's. The women's, both divisions, NAIA and NCAA, have their own tournament that you have to find.
Okay.
So just for our hearers, if you're looking for that, the women's division, you won't see those in the men's tournament. You'll have to open up a different, you know, different tournament. Yeah, so they start Friday morning, and I think the semis are at noon Eastern Standard Time after some of those early matchups happen and determine, you know, what the semi matchups are.
Okay.
So
fun.
One of the cool elements of the NCAA division is this does include, you know, unashamedly, my beloved McKendree Bearcats. where my daughter wrestles. But McKendree, they're returning champions, so they're going for – they're going for back-to-back titles. They won their first title last year, and this would be back-to-back for them. So that'd be a pretty big accomplishment if they could pull that off.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, I talked to Coach Sam yesterday, and, you know, he's pretty chill about it. One of the first things he said was that their main goal this year is to get, you know, their women qualified for the Olympic trials, which they've already got a couple qualified from, I think, Emma Bruntel, Alex Claude. I actually don't think anybody else has qualified yet, but there's still the last chance qualifier coming. But that's their main goal. He wants to get as many of his women qualified for the Olympic trials in April as possible. So he's pretty chill about this event. He, you know, basically the way he's approaching it is, and he told me, and this is a quote, this event is another chance to get back on the mats and show off how hard our girls are working. So, you know, I mean, this is, you know, it's like, I guess, glorified high level mat time.
Yeah.
I guess you have that luxury when you're the number one team in the country and you got a lot. There's a lot going on in women's wrestling this year where, you know, there's a big prize on the line this weekend, but with the Olympics hanging out there in April, there's, you know, there's even bigger prizes out there. So
absolutely. This is what they've been working their whole lives toward, you know, the Olympic opportunity.
Oh yeah. I mean, every young female wrestler who has a dream of a career, what are they thinking about?
Absolutely.
I wanted, you know, the Olympics.
Yep.
And there's also big prizes out there, like for the NAIA women, there's the NAIA, you know, Invitational, which will crown an NAIA national champion. This year, there's the first Invitational for NCAA women. They'll crown, you know, an NCAA women's champion. And there's also the WCWA, which is still happening. And there's kind of a mixed group of NAIA and NCAA programs involved in that. I think 26 total, and they'll crown a national champion. So there's a lot of prizes out there this year, but this is certainly a coveted one. That's why it's bringing out the best programs.
Yeah.
You know, this it's a big deal to win this tournament, and McKendree's going for back to back. So let's talk a little bit about the you know, who's in the lineups that in the top four seeds.
Okay.
Let's start with McKendree. What do we have coming in for McKendree here?
I mean, to my knowledge, looks like they're bringing everybody, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, seems like they're bringing, I mean, just looking through the list of people there, it's just seems like they have, you know, every weight class filled and ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, they're throwing their best punch here. Of course, we got to mention the, you know, new kid on the block, flavor of the month, U.S. Open winner Emma Bruntel. She's right. Just been unbelievable this year. She's coming at 136. You've got WCWA national champion Alex Gladie at 155. You've got WCWA national finalist Felicity Taylor at 116.
Yep.
And then you've got All-Americans Teresa Rankin. She's at 116. Alexia Flex Ward at 123. Joy, of course, Joy Levandusky at 155.
Yep.
As well. And then you've got U23 bronze medalist, All-American Corey Bullock at 170. And then not to mention, you know, you got Andrea Sennett, who is a junior national teamer in the past. It's a backup at 170. That's a pretty good backup there, right?
Absolutely. Wow.
And then you've got freshman rising star Alara Boyd, who's just, I mean, she's already at the level. Like she immediately came on the mats as a college wrestler after winning two cadet, you know, age level world bronze medals. She's on the college scene and already a contender. She's at 143. And then you've got number two NCAA ranked Sydney Kimber at 191. So yeah, we could mention others, but wow.
They're a powerhouse, man. That's, you know, it's funny because you said Coach Sam's like, yeah, we're just laid back, taking it easy. But what he's putting on the mat is anybody but taking it easy.
Yeah, it's like, come on, Coach. If you're going to take it easy, then, you know, why don't you bring some of the, you know, the younger girls and the freshmen who are, you know, hungry for blood. And for a guy who's taking it easy, he's bringing like the death squad. Yeah, taking it easy as he's loading his guns and aiming, you know.
This is quite the lineup.
I don't know. Maybe that's like a little reverse psychology. I don't know.
Yeah.
You're right. It does not look like he's taking it easy here.
Oh.
All right. Let's go on to number two, Simon Fraser. You got any info about that squad?
Well, just again, looks like they're bringing a bringing a pretty full squad. I mean, a couple weight classes not hitting. Doesn't look like they have a 101 to my knowledge.
Yeah, that's odd. I don't know what they're thinking there. I mean, I guess you're just giving up a forfeit and hoping you're going to get your points in the other weight classes.
That's a lot of points. But they have some ability to move around to move some different weight classes around and try to fill some spots and put their best wrestlers out there strategically. So it looks like they got some wrestlers to go with. I don't have a number here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. What do they have? 15 girls are bringing. Is that everybody bringing 15? Is that what it is, Derek?
Yeah, I think that's correct. Cause they can bring a couple, backups.
Okay. So it's 15. I'm just making sure my numbers are right here.
I think there's 10 weight classes. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. 10 weight classes. So that'll give you 5 backups. So
yeah, that makes sense. I was just counting through the different numbers and who they have. Yeah. I mean, so all these teams bringing numbers, looks like, Emmanuel's the only one out of the top four that aren't bringing 15, but yeah, I mean, definitely Simon Fraser's coming to battle. They're bringing their A game here as well. A lot of great wrestlers here. I'm just looking through the list with Hedrick at 123. Amazing. And,
yeah, she's ranked number one.
All right.
They got another number one at 109, Alexia Seal.
Right.
She's number one in our NCAA rankings. Well, and any other names there?
Well, you got Olivia Fisk. I mean, Olivia Fisk at 155.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
what a
Final X, and it's going to be an exciting, some exciting matches.
Yeah, she's currently ranked number two, and they've got another number one, Emily Q at 170. And you may remember when we were talking about dark horses for senior nationals, it was the conversation last week when we were talking about most improved.
Right.
I had Emily Q as my most improved in 2019. She's really wrestling well at 170. She's going to be really tough. They've also got Lauren Mason, who's ranked number two at 130. And number three, Nicole Deepa at 136. She's ranked number three. She redshirted last year.
Okay.
She could easily be ranked, higher than that, number two or even number one. But, we put her in there at number three as she's returning to the mats here. Of course, she's got Emma Bruntel in her weight class, but Nicole is very, very tough. And I should mention, Simon Fraser did not come to this event last year. So, I'm not taking anything away from McKendree's win.
Yeah.
But, Coach Sam is aware that Simon Fraser is locked and loaded. And,
yeah, they are.
He's not taking them lightly at all. He's got a lot of respect for them and knows what he's up against. And, that's probably why you see his lineup locked and loaded.
Yep.
So, all right. Look at number three, King.
Again, looks like they're bringing all 15, filling all their spots here. And
okay.
I'm just recognizing some names that I've just, just recently been talking about. Sissy Stein at 123.
Yeah. Hey, shout out to New York there.
Yeah. She just even recently had a good tournament over right at the senior nationals.
Yeah. She didn't qualify or place top eight, but I mean,
okay.
There were many, many, many very great wrestlers in the men's and women's divisions who didn't do that, but you could still say they wrestled well. And she was certainly one of them. I think she beat Kelsey Campbell.
Okay.
If I remember right, she might've had a win over her, but she had a big win like that.
Yeah. I'd have to look that up.
In the consies, but yeah, she's very tough. She broke her ankle last year. And I had surgery in the off season, and she's come back looking really well. She won the Missouri Valley Open. She's ranked number two. And she's at 123.
They got some number ones here though.
Who's that?
Well, you have, Allison Pettix.
Did I
say that right?
Yeah. 130. Yep.
Yeah. 130. And, Ashlyn Ortega, 143.
Yeah. And she also, I think Ashlyn just qualified at the senior nationals for the Olympic trials. And then they've got All-Americans Anna Luciano looks like, and, at 143 also. And then at 170, they've got All-American Nia Crosdale, another New Yorker.
Yep.
Starts spreading the news. I'm just going to share a little anecdotal story on Cheyenne Sissenstein.
Yeah.
I remember when she kind of came on the women's scene in high school because my daughter Joy had, as a sophomore, had All-American at Fargo and Body Bar and Oklahoma folk style. So you know, Joy kind of like made a splash at the national level. And then that fall in Joy's junior year, we went to Cornell University to wrestle Finger Lakes at the Finger Lakes Wrestling Club's duels.
Mm-hmm.
And that always brings out some good teams and stuff. But Heath Macaluso always puts together a good team for Venom, his women's club down there in Southern New York, north of New York City. And yeah, so he gets this this young lady named Cheyenne Sissenstein in his squad from Maine Endwell, which is down near Binghamton, New York. And he gets her on the squad, and I didn't know who she was. And, you know, we just heard she's pretty tough. She wrestles folk style. She hasn't really wrestled the girls before. And so anyway, they bump her up to wrestle Joy.
Uh-huh.
And of course, you know, I mean, not that Joy's cocky, but she's a pretty confident wrestler. She, you know, was an All-American at the national level, and who's this? And we're thinking, you know,
right,
wrestle well, and we should be able to beat this girl. Well, it was a barn burner grind right to the last whistle. Joy was ahead with 10 seconds left, and then Cheyenne, I can't remember what happened. I think Joy went in for a shot, and then Cheyenne maybe put her to her back for four and ended up winning by two or something like that.
Oh, wow.
But that was my, you know, our first introduction to Cheyenne, and Joy and Cheyenne became friends after that.
That's cool.
And I was talking to Joy one day, and I'm like, could you reach out to her and make sure she tries out for the Fargo team and goes to, you know, Freestyle States? And Joy reached out to her, and Cheyenne was like, I don't know. I don't know how well I do at the national level. And Joy's like, yo, you beat me.
Yeah.
So you should do it.
Yeah.
And so she went out that year, and she was a senior that year, and she went to Fargo and placed fourth.
Wow.
Almost placed third. And then she got noticed by, you know, Julia Salata from King. They became friends there. She ended up going to King University. So all that to say,
cool stuff.
Yeah. Love Cheyenne Sissenstein, and loved watching her career. And she's got so much ahead of her. Very tough for King University. Currently ranked number two in the NCAA. So, okay. So yeah, that's King. And I should mention too, that it was actually McKendry against King in the finals last year.
Right.
That's who McKendry beat to win the title, and they beat him 24-17. The last match actually came down to the final bout when Destiny Garrick at 191. I think I got that right.
Yep.
Wrestled Nia Crosdale. And what was funny about that was Nia, again, from New York, was actually on the Fargo team with Cheyenne Sissenstein and Joy, and Destiny Garrick was actually her coach. So that was pretty wild that it went down that way last year, where Nia hit Destiny Garrick in the,
yeah,
in the finals match. And she, you know, Nia lost 6-2, but honestly, like, New York was cheering for both Destiny and Nia. That was great for Nia to be able to wrestle her that tough as a freshman when Destiny went on to win the national title that year.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, King would love to get back to the finals, but as the number three seed, they've got to get through Simon Frazier, and that is going to be very, very
tough. Tough go. Yep, tough go.
Let's just mention number four seed Emmanuel. Honestly, yeah,
names missing here.
Yeah, I don't see, you know, Kayla Morano. I think she's redshirting.
Okay.
2019 WCWA runner-up Felicity Bryant. Don't see her in the lineup. I do not see WCWA runner-up Kaylee Seabolt at 191. So their top-ranked wrestler is, yeah, Julia Padilla, who's ranked number seven at 136. So I don't know. It looks like, you know, Emmanuel's, they're sending a team, which is great, but it doesn't look like they're sending their best squad. They're young, or they're, you know, they're not the number one in their depth chart. So I don't know. I don't expect to see them
now
be able to get through McKendry, or, you know.
Well, that's my curiosity. I'm just curious. If it runs chalk, then of course Emmanuel will be in the semis. If not Emmanuel, is there another team there that you could foresee a team like McKendry run into? I don't even know.
Well, I don't know. Would they hit? They might hit Colorado Mesa. I think they would.
They would. You're right.
And in the round before the semi. And
in the quarters. Honestly,
Coach Travis Mercado, man, that guy is laser focused. on, you know, getting his team better and getting them the toughest matches and, you know, shooting for the highest targets.
I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, he's all about it. So, and you know, they're seated fifth. They've been climbing the team rankings. I mean, they've got that wrestler, Marissa Gallegos, who was she was the Cinderella story at senior nationals. She ended up placing sixth, you know, didn't, you know, just barely missed the qualifying spot, but and she pulled some huge upsets there. I think she beat Grace Figueroa.
Right.
She might have beaten Kelsey Campbell too. Maybe that's the one I was thinking. Sorry, Kelsey
Campbell. I feel like bad
right now.
Kelsey.
I have Kelsey losing like 5 or 6 matches in my head at senior national.
It's really, really unfortunate.
She only lost twice, folks. I think. But anyway, all that to say, yeah. Colorado Mesa could pull that upset in the quarters,
and that'd be a very and they'd be pumped. They'd be a team focused, and McKendree would be quite the intense semis for sure.
It what you want to put your name on that?
I mean, looking at the names, I'm not as familiar with some of these teams. I'm familiarizing myself, but certainly looking through what Emmanuel's bringing at this point, I could see that definitely being an opportunity where Colorado Mesa, as you said, comes through and makes it to the semis.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Nobody's going to walk over them.
No,
I mean,
no.
They're high level college wrestlers. They're going to be competitive. They're going to pull upsets. They're going to be fine. But yeah, it's not the best version of their team. So yeah, you know what? Honestly, I say this without having looked in depth at who Colorado Mesa's bringing.
Yep.
But if it's true to form, like they've done in every other tournament they've gone to where they've brought their hammers.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it and say Colorado Mesa pulls the upset over Emmanuel in the quarterfinals and they end up facing McKendree.
Yeah. I think it's a good one.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Just saying. You heard it here on AWW Radio. Okay. So, you know, what might be fun is let's see. Wait, who is Emmanuel bring? We already mentioned that. We mentioned who they're not bringing.
Yeah, we mentioned it. Padilla is their number 7. They're bringing.
Yeah, Padilla. Okay. You know, before we get into the nitty gritty of head to heads, which would be fun to do that.
Yeah.
Just wanted to give a shout out to some new programs. North Central, Augsburg. They're coming. They're wrestling really well for startup programs. They're sending out ranked wrestlers to the mats. Presbyterian, I think, is a restart program, and you know they're coming. Augsburg is bringing their young star Emily Shilson at 109. She's a phenomenal wrestler. I think she's ranked number 1 in the NCAA right now. And North Central is bringing that freshman phenom Yelena McCoyed at 170, who is a problem for everybody in her weight class.
Yeah,
she's the one that just beat Olivia Fisk at senior nationals twice.
That's amazing.
I doubt Olivia wants to see her right now. she changed Olivia Fisk's year a little bit because, you know, Olivia Fisk didn't qualify. Now Olivia's got to go to last chance qualifier to qualify. I think though, actually, if Olivia wins WCWA nationals, which I think she's going, she could also qualify for the Olympic trials there too. So there's a couple ways for Olivia to do that, but I'm sure that Yelena McCoyed is not her favorite person right now.
Hey, listen, here's a question just that reminded me of it as you're talking about that, because Olivia is wrestling at 155, but she bumped up during the tournament to wrestle Yelena in that weight class. What happened? You know, are they allowed to bump around like that until they qualify at either of those weight classes?
Yeah, I think they are. I think, you know, I don't know how Olivia is going to play that out in her head with her coaches, but
yeah.
I mean,
I'm just thinking, the theoretical there.
Yeah, I don't know why she bumped up. I think, you know, she was a tweener. I think her natural weight class is 72 kilos.
Yep.
I mean, you know.
And there's a massive gap between what, 76 that she wrestled and
68.
The 68, the Olympic weight. Yep.
I mean, my daughter, your niece, Joy, that we had on the show the last 2 weeks had the same problem. She's she's a natural 72 and she had to, you know, are you going to bump way up to 76, which is like what, 12, 13 pounds up or something? Or are you going to go down to 68? So she went down to 68, and maybe that was just too much for Olivia.
Okay.
So she went 76, and you know, Joy actually said that she looked great at that weight, but then Yelena Makoya.
Right.
So I don't know how that's going to play out. I don't know if she's going to try to drop back down to 68 for last chance qualifier or what, but.
But she has that right to do that if she wants, correct?
She can't. Yeah, she can do that.
Stay. Okay. Yep. Okay.
So, all right. Well, let's go through the lineups here, and let's just kind of, if it went chalk, okay? If the SCAs went 1, 2, 3, 4,
okay,
and those semis happened, how do we think those might go? So let's start with McKendry versus Emmanuel. Honestly, I don't see that going well for Emmanuel.
I don't either.
I mean, Emmanuel, they've got Aisha Washington, who's a senior. She's tough, but she'd have to deal with, you know, McKendry's, you know, weightlifting, you know, ripped hammer, Pauline Granados, you know, freshman who's ranked number 3. I'm giving that match to Granados. I'm going 3-1 on that one. I don't know if we want to go match by match or just kind of give a general overview here.
General overview is fine. We can go match by match maybe as we get to the finals if we want to do that.
Yeah, okay. We'll do that. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I've got Emmanuel maybe picking up a win at 130.
Yeah.
Because they've got Nia Gaines, a freshman who's ranked there. She's ranked number 8.
Yep.
And McKendry, you know, if McKendry has you know, one spot where you don't have like mafia hit women going out to the mat, it's 130. I mean, don't get me wrong, they're tough. Peyton Stroud and Shayna Murray are no joke. You know, I mean, they're gonna be all Americans before it's all over. But that said, Nia Gaines is ranked ahead of them right now, so okay, we'll give that match.
Yeah.
End of the day, I got McKendry winning every match but that one. I got a couple team points being picked up by Emmanuel, and my final score is McKendry 39, Emmanuel 7.
The I didn't team score out the semis, so I don't have a team score out there, but I'm with you on the win and the dominant win there.
Yeah. Okay, let's go over to potentially number 2 versus number 3, King versus SFU. I got to be honest with you. I mean, King's program is awesome. And they send really tough wrestlers out. They battle every single match. This is not a sure thing. I'm going to give the match to SFU. I think they've got just too much firepower. You know, like they've got top 3 wrestlers, you know, in a lot of weight classes.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about seeds. I'm talking about ranking, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, King's got some of those too, but I feel like, I don't know, I feel like there's more of them. There's more depth, I think, top to bottom in Simon Fraser.
Yeah.
So I'm giving the duel to SFU. I've got wins for King at, let's see.
143?
Well, 101, because 101. Simon Fraser doesn't have a 101.
Right. 101, yeah, and that's what Simon Fraser's, at least they're going to have to strategize against, the fact they're giving up 5 points every match.
Yeah, that's a tough way to start.
Yeah.
I'm giving a match to King at 101. At 116, because I'm guessing, that they're going to bump up Aaliyah Gold.
Yep.
Senior, she's ranked number 6 in the NCAA, very tough.
Right.
And she would face
Godinez Gonzalez.
Potentially she'd face her, even though I suppose
they could bump up McCray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess I went with the Carla Godinez Gonzalez, however you say that.
Yeah.
I gave that match to Aaliyah.
Yep.
And then let's see. I've got another at 123. You got Hedrick versus Sissenstein. Number 1 versus number 2. Okay.
Yeah.
If you're watching this tournament and they hit in the semis, you're going to want to watch the 123 match, Simon Fraser versus King, because you got the number 1 versus number 2, Alex Hedrick versus Cheyenne Sissenstein. I've got that as a decision for Hedrick, but I think it's going to be close, and I think Cheyenne's going to score.
Yeah.
So I got 3-1 there.
And then the 130, you have another match between a 1 and a 2.
What do we got there? Lauren Mason and Allison Pettix. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, those matches right in the middle are going to be intense. That's those are some big matches right there.
Yeah, and again, if you go chalk on that, then you're gonna have a close match, and I'm going 3-1 for Pettix on that. I'm giving King a match at 143. That's because of number one Ashlyn Ortega.
Yep.
I don't care who they send out there, Ashlyn is gonna beat her. Sarah Brinkack is tough. I think she All American last year in WCWA, but she is not beating Ashlyn Ortega.
Yep.
155. I've given that one to, it's Olivia Fisk.
Yeah.
I'm going 4-1 for SFU at 170. You got Emily Q versus Nia Crosdale. Emily's ranked number one. Yeah. Nia is ranked number five, but I think Emily has got too much offense there. I think Nia scores. So anyway, all that to say, my predicted final score is SFU 26 and King 17.
Okay.
So, I mean, that is if it goes chalk. Like we said, McKendry could hit Colorado Mesa. And who knows? There could be an upset somewhere else we don't foresee.
Absolutely.
That's what we love about wrestling, right?
Yep. Well, let's talk the finals if it goes chalk then.
Oh, boy. This is tough. And, you know, I mean, admittedly, you know, I'm an unashamed McKendry fan, but I do try to be fair and realistic. Let's go match by match on this. Cause you did it too, right?
I did this one. Yeah. Match by match.
Okay.
And I'm sure I'm incredibly accurate.
Well, again, you got the no 101 problem for Simon Fraser. So that's
5 points right off the bat. Yeah. 5 points by McKendry.
Okay, we're going to 109 now. So, you know, McKendry's got Natalie Reyna and Carly Valeroy, both nationally ranked wrestlers, and they're going to hit either Alexia Seal or Sierra McCray. Seal's ranked number one, McCray's ranked number five.
Right.
What do you got?
Oh, you know, I could – you know, here's the thing where I love about strategy. You know, you could put different people out there against different people, right?
Yeah,
you could
bump
Seal – they could bump Seal up to wrestle Felicity if they wanted to. Not that they want necessarily. I don't know what they want, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they could think, boy, this girl's got now, I was just picking Seal winning by a decision from Simon Fraser here at 109. I have SFU winning this 3-1.
Okay. I did the same thing. I just went chalk on that.
Yeah.
But I got to be honest with you. It wouldn't surprise me if whoever McKendry puts out there, you know, pulls the quote unquote upset. I mean, Natalie Reyna has been wrestling. I think she's had the best year of her career.
Yeah.
She's been wrestling really tough, and she can compete with anybody. Carly's been looking great. So just going chalk on that try to be realistic. So,
all right.
Okay, we're at 123 now. So you got
we're at 116.
116. Sorry about that. You got all right. Number one ranked Felicity Taylor for McKendry, or number four ranked Teresa Rankin. Both All Americans. Felicity was a national runner up last year against. Probably they're going to bump up one of those 109s, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean,
so either Alexia Steele or Sierra McCray. I think, you know, just for the sake of conversation, you and I have them bumping up McCray.
Yep.
So you're going to have McCray against Felicity or Teresa. I think McKendry wins either of those matches.
Yep. I have that. I have them winning. I have her winning by a technical fall.
That's what I've got. I got tech fall, and only because she'd be giving away weight to two wrestlers that are elite in that weight class.
Yeah. And Felicity's tough. I mean, she's tough, tough.
Felicity is. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a world teamer here. So,
yeah.
Okay. So,
we're matching ourselves here, Derek.
Yeah. We're pretty boring so far. Can somebody please be contrary here?
Well, okay. The problem is if these girls can bump around. I mean, that's the beauty with having 15 wrestlers here. You can move some people around and really create some matchups that are, you know, strategically, it's where the coaches come in, you know?
Yeah.
It's fun. It's fun.
Yeah, somebody's going to mess up our plan here.
Of course. All right, let's talk 123.
Okay, 123. You got Flex Ward, ranked number 3 for McKendry, and she is going to hit. Woo!
Hedrick.
Alex Hedrick. I mean, Hedrick's really tough. Flex is super tough. Flex actually beat Marissa Gallegos twice at the Movel by a point.
Yeah.
And we just saw what Marissa Gallegos did at Senior Nationals. So, I mean, Flex is right there at that elite level. But Alex has proven to be able to win at that level, in those elite, top five matches. So I went with Alex Hedrick here on a decision. I think Flex is going to score. Wouldn't be surprised if she pulls the upset, but I went 3-1 there.
That's exactly what I went, man. This is lame.
We did not compare notes. Dude, are we the same so far?
Yeah, exactly the same.
All right.
What's your final score?
I'm going to save that.
Okay.
All right. So let's move on then to 130. We've got number 2, Lauren Mason for Simon Fraser. Against 2 unranked freshmen, but they're both really solid, both really tough.
Hey, by the way, I just was looking up just because I was curious about Hedrick, if Hedrick and Ward ran into each other, and they did.
Okay.
Last year in 2018, Hedrick beat Ward at the 2018 USAW USMNC girls.
Was national. It women's nationals probably?
Yep, okay. Yep.
What was the result there?
6-2. I lost the page here, but I think it was 6-2. Let me see here at the end of the match. Just looking at it. Thank you. Add 8-2. Looks like 8-2. Was 8-2 Hedrick. 8-2 Hedrick.
Okay. Well, so that's what we just said.
Yeah, we did. So I'm just saying. Sorry, we can go on. Sorry.
Okay. So we're at 130. I'm going to have to pick the SFU wrestler here.
Yep.
She's a senior. She's experienced. She's ranked number 2 in the country. Shayna or Peyton, they're both super tough. They'll give her, they'll compete, but I'm saying Mason wins that by tech fall.
Okay. I got it. McKendry bringing a fighter, really out there working hard. I have it, SFU winning, but still a team point to, decision point and I decision point to McKendry.
So you went 3-1 or 4-1?
3-1.
Okay. All right. At 143, you've got Hammer Time. Alara
136. Floyd. 136.
Oh, sorry, 36. Okay, I can say the same thing. Hammer Time, Emma Bruntel. Ranked number 1 against – oh, this is intriguing, honestly. I mean, Nicole Deepa, sorry, not quite sure how to say that name. But she's got cred. She's got Matt cred and accolades, and she's a senior. Nothing's going to scare her. But I tell you, man, the way that McKendry's wrestling right now, I mean, the way that Emma's wrestling right now, I don't see her losing. I mean, we're talking about a wrestler here that just beat Mallory Velty and just, beat Fazeri from Canada, the Olympic bronze medalist, right?
Yep.
So I've got Emma winning that one, but I'm giving a point to the SFU wrestler. So I say Emma Texer, but Depa gets a point.
Yeah, Depa's she's a Pan Am gold medal winner, junior Pan Ams. She won gold same year Emma won it, actually. She just won a weight class above her. 2017, I think. I have Emma winning by fall.
Okay.
She's wrestling at the top of her game right now. And I think she just comes in, continues to stay hungry and dominant. So we'll see.
Okay. Now we're up to 143. We've got Alara Boyd again, who is just, my gosh, she's a rock star. Nothing scares her. She's already competed in intense matches with a lot on the line. She's coming in with a veteran mindset. She's ranked number 3 in the NCAA, and she's going to hit Sarah Brinkack, ranked number 5 in the NCAA. She All-American last year, but I'm going Boyd. Yeah, I'm going Boyd on a decision. I say Brinkhack scores, but
same with four. Me. I got 3-1.
You know, Boyd comes. I mean, she has explosive shots at neutral, and I just don't see Brinkhack being able to stop her attacks. I think Lara's going to get in on her legs, and so yeah. All right. So what did you have?
I have it 3-1 McHenry's 3-1 Boyd.
Okay. All right, up to 155. I'm going to assume that McKendree's sending out their national champion, Alex Glaude.
Yep.
And she will face
Olivia Fisk,
who was the U23 world teamer and the junior world teamer and also made Final X. And it was almost the senior world teamer last year. So, honestly, that's going to be a really great match.
Yep.
Who you got?
I got Glaude winning. I have it really close, you know, like you're talking 3-2, that type of match. To, yeah. You know, just a real good chess match there. But I have Glaude winning with a team point to Olivia and Simon Fraser. So 3-1 McHenry.
Yeah, I think it's a bad matchup for Fisk, honestly. I mean, you know, Alex Glaude is just she's a cinder block of muscle. She's a brick wall defensively. And, you know, Fisk needs to be able to get in on legs and finish. And, you know, I just don't see her being able to do that against Glaude.
Yep.
And then, you know, Fisk has got an unbelievable leg lace, but again, the horsepower that Glaude has, I just don't see, you know, I don't see a lot of points there for Fisk. So, you know, maybe she'll get a shot clock or a push out, but maybe she'll sneak a takedown. I don't know. I'm going like, you know, like you, I'm going like 4-3, 5-3 Glaude.
Yep.
So,
it'll be close.
All right.
Now 170.
Yep. I mean, again, like keep the monsters coming on both sides. You got number one ranked Emily Q, and I think she's not ranked number one at 191. So she's actually entered at 170. That's why there's two number ones in that weight.
Yep.
If this duel happens, you got Corey Bullock, who's number one NCAA ranked at 170, versus Emily Q, who is number one NCAA ranked at 191.
And they wrestled at World Team Trials last year.
What was the result there?
Corey won 7-5.
Okay.
So
well, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Boy, you know, it's hard to pick against Corey in that matchup just because of. But it's going to be a close one. I'm sure Emily wants to get that match again, and yeah. You know the. I picked Corey. In that match, it's going to be a match.
Yeah, I want to pick Corey, and I don't know, just again, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Corey wins that, but you know, I'm going to be interesting, and yep. I'm going to say, you know, I've been high on Emily Q. I've been watching her development, and she's big. Like she's, like I said, I think she's ranked number one at 191, which means she's actually cutting down a little bit for this.
Yep.
So, you know, she's going to be big for that weight class.
Now why did you rank her at 191? Is that what she wrestled?
I think that her results this year have been up in that weight class. You know, I think 76 kilos and then 191 in different events. So, you know, maybe she's getting ready to make her run for a national title at 170, which is common for this time of year. You'll see people cut down.
Yeah.
That said, I don't know. She's big. I feel like she's just been steadily improving. I'm not saying Corey hasn't, but you know, Emily is young, and I think she had more ground to take and has taken some of that ground. So I'm going to say it's a really close match, and I'm going to give 3-2 Q on that and 1 for McHenry.
Okay.
Okay, up to 191.
191. I have Kimber winning that one, so...
Yeah, I got Kimber winning that one. Again, a decision, a 3-1 decision over Woldring from Simon Fraser. You know, I know all these women. I watch him a lot because of my fandom for McKendry, because my daughter's on that squad. You know, Sydney's wrestling well. She wrestled really well, like for like 95% of last year, and then kind of hit a tough patch in the postseason. But she's wrestling well, especially it's a good weight class for her. I know Woldring's tough too, but yeah, I think Sydney's going to get that. So, all right, well, time for the drum roll. What are our final scores here? What do you got?
My final score was 28 McKendry, 16 Simon Fraser.
All right, I got McKendry 25, Simon Fraser 17.
So we'll see how it all plays out. I mean, everything can change when they start bumping wrestlers around.
Yeah, it's true.
So
yeah. So, all right, well, good. That'll be fun. You know, at the end of the day, you got to wrestle these matches, right?
Yeah.
That's what's great about wrestling. You know, any one of these predictions we had could not only flip, but could shock us. You just don't know who's going to, you know, who's going to have a bad weight cut, who's going to feel hot, you know, who's, you know, how matchups actually play out, style matchups and stuff. So, but this is a fun tournament, you know, big prize on the line with a national title. Everybody wants to be able to put that up on their wall. And, it's going to be fun to watch. So it starts Absolutely. Friday morning and it runs through Saturday, and hope that you watch, and you know, we'll come back next week and tell you how we did with our predictions.
Sounds good.
All right. Follow the Bleacher Brothers on Twitter at the Bleacher Bros. You can follow Ben at Ben Levendusky. That's BenLevendusky. Follow me at Derek Levendusky.
Hey, can I ask you one thing?
Yeah,
I know you're talking here, but we've had such a long show here. We didn't do any discussion of the NAIA.
Oh boy. Yeah, and we did promise we'd do that, didn't we?
Well, we should at least. we just got so caught up in the weeds there.
I'll tell you what. Why don't we post two podcasts?
Oh.
We'll do a quick rundown on the NAIA in a separate podcast.
All right, sounds good.
All right. So for the NCAA preview, we are out.
Thanks for listening to AWW Radio.